ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got Mark Rogers coming up at 9:30. Pick his brain on what's going on in high school football this weekend with the 6A2 title game tonight and everything else up in Edmond. So we'll get a bunch of high school football talk in there. I'm sure some of you Clintonites are going, hey, what about us? Well, you got overshadowed a little bit by Lincoln Riley this week, but not today. So we're going to pick Mark's brain about the state championship games that are going on in high school football starting tonight up in Edmond. So that's coming up at 9:30. I'm sure we'll ask him about the Big 12 title game and also the OU coaching search as well. I want to run through some college football playoff scenarios with you, Jared.
Okay.
Kind of see where your mind is after the release of those rankings on Tuesday. What did that mean? Did that mean anything to you? So, you know, give an idea of that. Something happened last night that maybe affects that a little bit with Notre Dame hiring a coach. Does that help the Irish's cause?
Was that official?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's. I mean, the school itself hasn't, I don't think, released, but that's happening. I mean, listen, what I've learned from this coaching search stuff, if Bruce Feldman says it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
So will that help them? Will that, you know, because that was kind of the conversation around them with Brian Kelly gone. We'll see if Marcus Freeman solidifying that coaching position. What do you think about that? Also, latest, does that affect the OU coaching search? Because a name that a lot of people had tagged to Notre Dame is now obviously not going there. And then a name that filtered out yesterday, and I heard it this morning as well, right here on these airwaves. Super interesting, because when you hear it, you're going to go, no way. But there are some reasons why maybe that can happen. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698 if you're going to be outside the listening area. Hang out with us on KADSAM.com, or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. All of that stuff will be fired up tomorrow evening with Elk City Hoops hitting the hardwood for the first time. And, of course, Paragon TV will have games there as well. Got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to that on KADSAM.com or iTunes. And if you go the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe, and then you will be alerted when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm good. Do you you have anything for us? What have you decided here?
I got a fun story. Well, fun and weird, maybe a little gross for some, and a little embarrassing for me. And I told my wife this story. She says, you got to take that to air.
Well, fire it off.
So I'll just start with this. Do you still believe in the Tooth Fairy?
Oh, Jared, there might be children listening. Of course.
Okay. Well, good answer. Okay. Because I do too. And let me go back. About a week and a half ago. It was over a week and a half ago. I got a regular dentist checkup. And, you know, with age, you find problems. And they found a crack tooth. Okay. One of my back ones on the top. Okay. So I said, hey, we got to put a crown on that. So, all right. And they said, we're going to have to start with a temporary crown because we'll have to take molds and send off to a lab to get your permanent crown made. But we need to put something on that. So, okay. So then a week and a half ago, the Monday before Thanksgiving, went in and had this done. And then, of course, they tell you, don't eat anything, don't eat nuts or anything, you know, kind of concentrate not using that tooth, you know, because it could fall out, which is, you know, you're asking me to do a lot. It's right before Thanksgiving. You eat a lot. And I was very conscious of that. They said, don't chew gum because it's sticky. So I switched to, like, mints, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I try to be conscious of that. And, well, last night, without thinking, this is what my routine is. I always have gum in my truck. And when I get in my truck, like when I left work last night, I pop a piece of gum in my mouth. So I start chewing it and I realize, wait, I got a temporary crown. So I'm concentrating on where I'm chewing this, keeping it off that. So we have to get my kid to practice at 5:30. So as soon as I get home, throw her in the truck, go to practice. I took the Big Elk laptop with me to do more work. So while I was at practice, I was doing more work on that. I'm chewing gum, and all of a sudden,
oh no,
the gum straight up pulls out my temporary crown.
Oh,
and I kind of went panic mode. And I spit the gum with the tooth still stuck on it in my hand, and I go, I'm looking at it, what do I do? So I pulled the gum off of it. I thought, well, maybe I can just put it back in. So I kind of feel it out with my tongue, and I just, first time, popped it back in. It's remained there ever since.
I was...
And I called my wife kind of in a panic. She's like, what are you going to do? I was like, well, it's already in my mouth again. It's in
stuck.
There. It's stuck. It's fine. And she's like, yeah, you got to call the dentist tomorrow. Yeah, I'll give him a call. Let him know what happened. And then I thought, wait a minute. I should have kept it out, put it underneath my pillow.
I was going to say.
For the tooth fairy.
I was going to say you should have put the gum on the bottom side of it, tried to get it to stick that way back in your mouth. Was there
quite embarrassing? I have to tell you, I didn't even tell my wife, like, I get a crown, and I'm like, oh, well, it is what it is. I mean, that's take care of your teeth.
I wouldn't imagine this to be the case, but was there a bunch of blood involved?
Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No,
because it's just kind of on the tooth, right?
It just covers up the tooth
because it's not. It's obviously
I didn't
not,
have to have a root canal or anything like
yeah, and
that.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not permanently attached because they're going to have to take it
right.
off to put
so the bond
the actual
that they
one.
Use.
Yeah.
And I'm not a dentist, and I'm sure we might have some dentists or dental hygienists that are listening. So I don't know. I'm sorry, but the bond that they use, I don't think it's going to be the same glue or cement or bond or
that
whatever it's
sense.
Called for the permanent one, because you're right, they have to pop out. And let me tell you, it popped out rather easily. So I'm really shocked. I was afraid that I was going to wake up this morning and it's going to be either out and just laying in my mouth, or I'd wake up in the middle of the night choking on a tooth. But it stayed in.
I'm getting text messages. Both permanent crowns I have broken, so be prepared for that. Not to the point where I've had to get new ones.
Really?
Our man Hunter said classic. You know what I'd say? This is why you listen to the dentist, Jared.
I did. I mean,
they specifically told you not to choose.
Don't
well,
you
didn't,
do
though.
Stuff, don't you do stuff
out of reflex?
That just, yes. Yeah. So just subconscious, just out of habit.
Yeah.
My habit is when I, after work, when I get in truck, I grab a piece of gum and I pop it in my mouth and start chewing, you know, and have fresh, you know, it's just something I do.
Mm-hmm.
When I, you know, after lunch, after, you know, and I've, like I said, I've switched to the mints, but I was out. And again, I was in such a hurry because.
Trying to bust
trying
it
to
get the kid
to
5:30
kid,
practice.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Get there. I'm driving. And I was chewing on that gum for a good long while before that happened.
Before it pulled your tooth out of
your
mouth.
Yeah. Anywho.
It wasn't quite as gross as I thought it might be, but it's a lesson, kids.
Well, when it's my mouth and it's my tooth, it feels gross to me. A little embarrassed, but anyways, I thought, and Allie said, oh, that'd make a great story on your show. That'd be funny.
So it'd have been funny if it had busted it out of your mouth, hit the side, and then everybody had to stop practice. Hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Jared's permanent or temporary mold is on the ground. Don't step on it, kids.
And I was lucky because all the parents were sitting on one side. And I was sitting on the other to use the desk. I don't know if you're familiar with the Canute setup in the big gym. Because I had a laptop and I was doing work. And so I was over there by myself.
Yeah.
So that was fortunate. But if I had dropped it, like you said.
Yeah, it'd have hit and gone right down onto the bench area.
That would have been worse than losing a contact. Like, don't move!
Yeah, stop!
There's a tooth on the court!
Well, would it have shattered? Because it's fallen from a decent
I don't
elevated
know.
Position.
I don't know. crazy.
All right, I want to throw a name at you that I heard last night from a very – it was a reputable source.
How do we
source.
Transition from a tooth story to
– Well, I mean, speaking of the tooth fairy, this probably will sound like the same type of hoax to most out there. But did you see the name Carrie Murdoch threw out last night?
I did. I saw that. I was vigorously trying to find out if that was legit. Like, as far as who sent it to me, I was like, are you sure that was actually Carrie Murdoch?
He brought
Murdoch?
It to air. This
he did
morning,
bring it to
I,
air,
when I was taking Wyatt to school, they were talking about it. And for those of all that don't know what we're talking about, Carrie Murdoch fired out the name that he had been constantly hearing throughout the day yesterday. And that name, Dabo Swinney. When you first hear it, you shake your head just like you did.
I'm
you have that look
to,
on your face.
I'm
like,
not trying to get hopes up.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
And realistically, that's probably the right way to look at it. But I will say this. There are a couple things that make it interesting. Number one on that list that would make it interesting would be this. The opportunity he would have at essentially immortal status in the NCAA football coaching fraternity. Winning a national title at two different schools has only happened with two guys. Saban and Herb.
Right.
That's the only two that have ever done it. And so from that standpoint, depending on how ambitious you want to get as a coach, that part of it would make sense. You know, you stay in a place for a while. It's not that it gets stale. I mean, Clemson was just playing for the national title, what, 2 years ago.
Right.
But, you know.
The guy wants to challenge himself.
That's
certain
times, that's the way it goes. I mean, I think you could say the same thing with the guy that left Oklahoma.
True.
A new challenge. And now he wasn't nearly as embedded and didn't have that same kind of success as what Dabo's had over the past few years, you know, half decade or decade back there at Clemson. But I'm just from an immortality standpoint in the annals of college football, that would be a way that it would make sense.
If that's what he wants to do. My only pause.
And here's another deal. I think he might be going this way, so I want to tell you where I'm at before you go there.
Okay.
Most people think he is the next guy at Bama.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would we hire Bama's replacement?
But if you're Dabo Swinney and you look throughout the history of college football, what normally doesn't work? Following a legend.
Yeah.
And so if you're at Clemson, you think, okay, I want to take that one next step. Where would I go? There's only a handful of programs that would seemingly be at least a lateral, if not a step up. And in Oklahoma, people are going to scream at this because – of success that Clemson's had, but Oklahoma's a better job than Clemson. Historically, it is. Look through the history of it. And can anybody tell me that Clemson isn't just Dabo right now? Of course not, because they haven't done it with multiple coaches throughout the years, whereas, you know, OU has. So that would be another kind of check mark in that box. Or if he's that ambitious, he's thinking, I'll be the one to change that tide at the Crimson Tide. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously everything's in place at Alabama for the next guy. But we've seen it time out of time and time again. Following that guy, normally the guy that follows the guy is the guy, if that makes sense. So
right. Look at Florida when Urban Meyer when Spurrier was
that's
done.
Right. It took Zook to screw it up for Urban to bring it back.
Right. So you don't want to be a Zooker.
You know,
Urban.
At Oklahoma, I mean, it went bad at the end for Barry the way he was gone, but it wasn't. It took a few. You know, Gibbs was fine, but not great. You know, Solich at Nebraska wasn't the answer. You know, you can go back through all this time, even to a smaller extent. You know, at Boise after Peterson. You know, it's never been the same, right?
We go even smaller. High schools, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean
you're
it's just
replacing
now getting,
Mike Lee. Now it looks
right.
Like they found their guy, and Clinton is going to.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they're in their second title game under Higbee.
It's just the truth. So those would be two of the reasons. Now, listen, I'm not sitting here. I mean, the chances of this happening, 10% maybe at the most. But there are, I mean, before you just go, oh, that ain't happening, there would be some reasons for it.
If there was any guy Carrie Murdoch is very plugged in and very careful what he gets.
Yeah,
he wants to be. He is more right than wrong.
When you read,
very
even when you
not.
Read what he put out there,
he's
it was like,
I
don't want to say this.
Exactly.
I don't want to say
why
it.
Why am I typing this?
At the same time, we're hearing it too much, and it would be a disservice to the people that are, you know, on his service. It'd be a disservice to them not to at least mention it. So
could it be a situation where Dabo's looking for a raise?
Oh, 100%.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. When he's seen all this money flying around to guys that haven't done what he's done.
Lincoln Riley, Kelly, and Dabo. You know what all three they have in common?
Agent.
One agent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you'd have to think that if you
that
were
that agent say, hey, I got two of my guys paid. I'm going to get another guy paid.
Sure. And that, yeah. and that's and more than
me,
likely
OU's
where it's
not going to pay him that much. You know what I mean?
What?
Oh, those the money that allegedly Riley and Kelly are getting.
Oh, yeah, they would. If it's Dabo Swinney, 100%.
You think so?
Yes. You have to.
Okay, so let me
ask you.
You
won't get him without it.
So while we're talking about the coaching search, other rumors or stuff we've heard, or I'm sure everyone's heard it by now, Castiglione is interviewing different guys. Apparently, Matt Campbell's been involved.
That guy,
I don't know if that's true or not.
Is that the Dino stuff kind of got shot down yesterday?
Did it really?
Yeah, a little bit.
And Fickell?
And Fickell. Now, that was also at the same time where most people thought Fickell was going to be the Notre Dame head coach. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's
Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame just promoted from within. Their defensive coordinator is going to be the head coach. And it looks like about everybody's staying with him as opposed to fleeing with Brian Kelly.
I wonder if Grinch had stayed, if that would have happened here.
Grinch be the head coach?
Just to keep the players on campus.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. No, but my point to all that is what I like about that, if that was true or not true, or maybe part of it's true, is the interview stuff. And I like, and I said this yesterday to somebody, I like that Joe Castiglione is basically compiling resumes, going out and interviewing potential candidates, and he's going to choose the next guy. The next guy is not going to choose OU, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't know how much interviewing there is for as far as like a Dabo Swinney. You're not going to sit down and say, hey, man, what are you going to do?
Right. It could be a formality. Joe Castiglione said, listen, I interview all my coaches, but, hey, let's go get a beer and talk about your contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that is. It's just, you know, with Swinney or some of those guys, you just ask, do you want the job or not? What does it take to get you?
Yeah.
Now, some of the coordinators, the Lannings or the Brent Venables, for instance.
Right.
I mean, I think they would have to lay out more of a plan of
– who's your OC?
Especially because they're defensive guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are you going to bring in to keep Caleb Williams on campus, for instance, as your offensive coordinator? So that would be more of a extensive talk, I think, about the nuts and bolts of being that coach. But a guy like Dabo, if you have made contact and he says, you know, huh, how much? That's the extent of that quote unquote interview in my mind.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. Come back. We'll hit some college football playoff talk. Mark Rogers coming up after that at about 9:30. High school football championship games kick off tonight.
That's right.
Of course we take phone calls.
Probably won't be much of a game. Do we take phone calls?
Absolutely. 225-9698. 100% we will. All right, Jared. College football playoff scenarios. We've got the conference championship games coming up this weekend. Question number one. Is Oklahoma State in if they win, no matter any other result?
I'll be pretty confident and say yes.
So essentially what I'm asking you is, A, do you think Georgia's going to beat Alabama? And two, do you think if Alabama wins, would they jump undefeated Cincinnati? That's essentially the question I'm asking you there.
Right. Now, I think OSU controls their own destiny. If they can win, which I think they will, I think they're in.
I do too. I'm not convinced that the committee is going to put in a non-Power 5 team, even though Cincinnati may be undefeated. I'm just not convinced. I'll have to see it to believe it, because it's first off, it's never happened. And when you look at Oklahoma State's resume, the wins, Cincinnati's got the Notre Dame win. The others have way more. Oklahoma State's got way more good wins than that. They'd have two over Baylor, who's a top 10 team. They beat top 10 OU when it happened. Boise was a ranked team when they beat them. You know, I just think that the resume is so much stronger for Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Okay, now next question. Does hiring Marcus Freeman get Notre Dame closer to being back in this conversation than they were Tuesday night when the rankings were released? And even the committee chairman, Gary Barta, mentioned the fact that that was a huge hickey against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think that was another reason why Notre Dame quickly promoted their guy. You mentioned it. It kept players on campus because there's still a chance that they could get in. So I think that was a clear message to the playoff committee. Like, you know, we're very much a solid program that's focusing on the playoff if you want to put us in there.
I do too. Hang on. We got somebody calling. Let me see if I can figure out how to go from Park to hitting this onto the air. Let's try it.
If our normal phone line would.
Let's try it. I think we're here. I got it. Will, you there?
Skinny, I'm here.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, doing good. Just talking college football and coaching search. What you got on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to call in and talk about the Elks Friday night.
Oh, go ahead.
I haven't had to call in yet.
Oh, go. Feel free.
And those guys, they just played their hearts out Friday night. I didn't think at almost any point in that game that they were going to lose. And I think we just got to give the props up to the seniors and the coaching staff. Man, those guys were, they were what, 0-22?
Yeah, 1 point. Did we
lose
that?
Yeah,
1 point it was, 0-22, and they won, what, three games
last
season?
Yeah, 3-7 last year, and then
seven,
all the way to 10 this year.
Yeah, 10, that's all credit to that senior class, like you said, absolutely.
I think something else that's pretty interesting to point out is, you know, the last three out of four teams in the 4A playoffs were all out of the same district.
Yeah, it's nice to get it back on the west side. I know when Jared and I were in high school, it felt like 4A1, the whole district was maybe the best four teams in the state with Clinton, Weatherford, Elk City, and then Marlow being in for a couple of those years. And it seemed like it shifted with Wagner and Clinton, you know, as the last 10 years for sure. It's been more of an east side dominated classification. So it's nice to see, you know, Clinton Tuttle in that final in the, you know, east of I-35 kind of eliminated after the semifinal round.
You guys have any predictions what's going to happen with the Clinton Tuttle game?
It's first of 14 wins.
Yeah, it's going to be a defensive battle. We'll talk more about that coming up with Mark Rogers here in a little bit, but I've put a lot of thought into it. I think the first team that gets 221.
Yeah, it may be more than 14, but
will be the winner. They both have quick strike offenses, but they both have dynamic defenses. So whoever gets to 21, I just don't know. I really don't.
Jared's trying not to be. Simply trying not to be a homer, and he already picked Clinton.
Everybody knows I grew up in. Well, I actually had Clinton and Poto in the title game, and I went back and watched highlights of that Poto Tuttle game, and it. Outside of, I know that it was 28-21, but Tuttle really was in control most of that game. But you know, Clinton has that ability. If their offense, we just saw last Friday night, if their offense isn't working, their defense can bend and not break. So. Yeah, I think first team that scores gets to 21 could win it. But I don't know who that is. I really don't. I'm not trying to be on the fence. I really don't know.
Hey, man, thanks going for – go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, just going back to the Elk City game, man, really the whole game, man, that defense totally shut Clinton down with the exception of their quarterback. I think we got to give it – they came ready to play. They were playing hard, and I don't think Clinton really expected Elk City to come out on fire like they did.
No, you know, it's easy to not think that after the way that they handled the Elks, you know, just a few weeks back in the Tornado Bowl. It didn't feel like Elk City was near physical enough to handle it that night. But, yeah, kudos to Coach Meadows, Coach Maynard, all those guys there on that coaching staff. And, like you said, the kids, for knowing what they had to do. Elk City didn't change a bunch of stuff up. I know we talked about it throughout that week of, you know, adjustments and this and that. And, you know, Coach Meadows said, we just need to play better. And Elk City certainly did that and had every chance to win. Last Friday night, but a heck of a season and one that hopefully kind of is the foundation for Elk City football moving forward throughout the next few years and making playoff runs is more of a tradition than an anomaly like it was this year. Hey, Will, thanks so much. We're going to get Mark on the horn, but we appreciate you calling. Do it again, man. All right, see you.
Hey, thanks.
It's our man Will there. All right, we're going to take a break. Speaking of, that's a perfect call segue into where we're going next.
Oh, love it.
I want you to think about a doomsday scenario for the college football playoff we'll talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
Like Georgia wins and everybody else loses.
Wow.
Then who is it?
Oh.
Joining us now is the voice that you hear at 11 o'clock most days, but this week on vacation. Kind enough to join us, Mr. Mark Rogers. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, what's up, man? I'm looking forward to some outside time today. This is pretty good.
Yeah,
I hate this kind of weather very much, huh?
I hate that for the last week and a half, almost every single day has been a golf day, and I have not been able to make it out to the golf course at all with all the things last week with the football, and then just getting ready for basketball season to start on this week coming up tomorrow night. But yeah, it does certainly doesn't feel like December the 2nd out here.
No, not at all. That's no bueno. Well, I hope you can get out there soon.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully. I don't know.
It doesn't look terrible the next week or so. I mean, the next 2 weeks.
No, it doesn't. And I've got a little kid birthday party a week from Saturday that I do not want to attend. And that would be a nice way to be able to not have to do that.
Well, now that you've professed it publicly, you might be able to just not go. I mean, I think it's okay at this point.
I think it is, too. No doubt about it. Well, Mark, man, we got a lot of stuff going on, and I like listening to you, but, man, it seems like when you go on vacation, all kinds of cool stuff starts happening and lots to talk about.
No, that's right. I mean, this coaching search, and it's really just kind of the first time because, you know, when Bob resigned, Lincoln was named, so this is the first time that this OU job has been open since the proliferation of social media. And so it is bat bleep crazy, man. I mean, everybody's got a rumor every day, and it's you know, something new's going on, and you know that people are texting me this morning. Oh, there's an announcement this afternoon, and yesterday they're setting up stages and stuff at OU. But if it happens today, I'd be surprised. I mean, just to try to use a level head to think about this, I think that you know it's going to take at least a week for them to kind of go through some interview processes, and I know that nothing would seem to happen next Monday or Tuesday because everybody's going to be in Las Vegas for Bob Stoops' Hall of Fame induction ceremony that's going to happen at Aria on Tuesday night. So I don't see anything happen before Wednesday of next week, which might cause some people to lose their mind.
I might be one of them.
I had an epiphany last night that OU fans don't know how to handle a coaching search because every little rumor and people are blowing up and freaking out. I text that to somebody. I said, OU fans – like, I'm an OU fan. We don't know how to handle this. And as each minute passes, like, where's our coach? Where's our coach? You know, how does Texas do it every 4 years? It's crazy.
If there is something that happens this week, I mean, I think that would really point to Brent Venables because they do have a comfort level with him. You know, there's some things that I thought that might not – that he might not fit and I do think that, you know, they would seriously take a look at Shane Beamer. I think that they absolutely are going to interview Dan Lanning. So those guys, I think, you know, have a shot. And why wouldn't you talk to those people? You know what I'm saying? At least just get a sense for what they're about. And, you know, get a time to go through the interview process. You don't get to do this when you have a head coach. So for Joe Castiglione, it's a time to talk to three or four people that he might be intrigued by going forward in the future. And you've got a little book on everybody else out there. So, you know, people that are just dying about the portal and all these kind of things, you know, I know this to be true. I've got a source that is impeccable on this one, that Caleb Williams is not going to leave before they name a new head coach. So, you know, you don't have to rush to get somebody because you feel like your quarterback's going to leave. Anybody else who would enter the portal, you have a chance to bring them back before they go and sign with another place. So there's no need to panic. There really isn't. I think it'll be okay, even if it takes into next week.
And how much, with that being the case, and then, of course, the recruiting class that's going to sign 2 weeks from yesterday, how much has Bob Stoops helped to solidify some of that and keep everybody with a little bit more of a level head than maybe what would be there if he wasn't available?
I think he's helped immensely. I mean, and his message is targeted. It's not just coach speak. You know, what he's saying is to these guys that Lincoln Riley recruited, and it seems that Riley recruited especially the offensive players, because he's a genius, you know, he's selling himself. He's not selling the University of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That's why I think you see some attrition in those ranks. But, you know, we haven't seen a defensive guy enter the portal yet. And they seem to be the ones that are all upset about this whole situation. So I think the dynamic of offense or defense or who you hire is a little interesting because if you do bring somebody in with a lot of offensive credibility, then you might be better off trying to retain some of those people. I know that there's also been a push out there for, you know, Jeff Lebby as a coordinator who played here and has done really well under Lane Kiffin, and I think would be interested in, you know, possibly having the job if if it was a right combination of OC and head coach. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways it could work out there, but there's time to keep those guys from leaving the school.
You're going to be down in Arlington this weekend with the Oklahoma State Cowboys, their first appearance in a Big 12 title game, going up against Baylor. With everything that's out there and dangling in front of them, is this the most important game in the history of Oklahoma State football?
It's up there. I mean, that game that, you know, that they played and lost at Iowa State was up there too, because they would have been in the BCS championship game there, which they could have avoided, you know, even a semifinal. It's big. I mean, Bedlam was big last week. So yeah, I think that it's if it's not the biggest, it's one of the very biggest.
Do you think with the way that Oklahoma State, the resume and how it's going to stack up, are they in a win and they're in situation no matter what happens around them, or do they still need Georgia to do them a solid and beat Bama?
I'd say, you know, win and in is about 85%, maybe less than that a little. I think that if you match them up against Cincinnati, then, and this is the worst case scenario, which would be Alabama beats Georgia, because then Alabama and Georgia are both in. If you look at their resume against Cincinnati, they're going to have the better resume. They do have one loss, but they will have played better teams and they will have more wins. So, I think the committee is also going to they'll be slanted a little bit towards a Power 5 conference team. But I couldn't guarantee it at that point, so it would be up in the air, and there would be a lot of nervous people. And you know what? Probably style points win. I mean, we've seen that in the past. I mean, if they have a really good day, and say Cincinnati struggles against Houston, then that could help them as well. And then, you know, like we're talking about what if Oklahoma State wins and these other things. There's a lot of other things that could happen there too. I mean, Michigan, you know, I mean, they're coming off a big win. That could be a tough game for them. And, you know, I'm not sure that Cincinnati, they've had struggled at times this year. And so that'll be a test for them against Houston.
Well, okay, let's talk about why we really got you on here. That's high school football. We got a championship game tonight, kind of a warm-up, because I'm not expecting much of a game between Bixby and Deer Creek. And then, of course, locally, we'll skip 5A, but locally, Clinton is taking on Tuttle. First off, I want to talk about Bixby and this run that they've put on. Are we witnessing the greatest high school runs in football?
Yes, I think it's probably the greatest run of 3 years that we've seen from anyone. There's not any question in my mind, and I've done the research on this. You know, gone through and looked at teams from the past, and can have a discussion of like 1 year runs and you know, 3 year runs, those kind of things. But this is it's unprecedented, especially for a school that is not in the largest class to have knocked off state champion in an even bigger class in the past two seasons. By the way, sorry, that coffee is being brought to you courtesy of my girlfriend Tiffany. We're trying to make a lot of noise.
That's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. That's all I'm saying. That's the loudest coffee maker I've ever heard. But the scores and the numbers and everything that they've done. I mean, thrashing Choctaw this year, who I think they thought they had a chance after playing them close to the state championship game last year. It's all incredible.
And that's what, when you look at their scores, and you know, we would kind of follow stuff at the Elk City games and give scores from other stuff, and that was you know they're good. When that was one I would always go to, and it had nothing, nobody cared watching the game that they were watching or listening to us, but it was always just fascinating to see, okay, what's Bixby doing this week? Averaging 61 a game and only one team to score 20 on them, it's hard to imagine, you know, what was Jinx's team, what, 97? Was that their one-year dominant run? I mean, Bixby is right there kind of with that. Maybe not as good a defense, but that offense is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. There's quite a bit of college talent on this team, too. There was a ton of college talent on the 97 Jinx team. That defense, if it was 1 year, I would probably take the 97 Jinx team against anybody. Even any one of these individual teams at Bixby. Now, if you go back and you look at the first year that they had both Presleys on the team, that was a pretty good team. But I still think that this Jinx team is probably the best single season team.
All right, down at 4A, everybody wants to know. I'm sure you've seen Tuttle. We've seen one on film trying to get ready for maybe a matchup this week. You know, and obviously we've seen Clinton twice. to me, it feels like if anybody scores 20 points in this game, they're going to be the state champ in 4A. What have you seen out of the Tigers so far this year?
I agree. I think it's going to be a rock fight. You know, people from Tuttle that have people from Tuttle that have been there for a long time tell me this is the best defense that they've ever had. I mean, one of the reasons is they're really, really good up front. You know, Harley Andrews is going to Nebraska on a wrestling scholarship. If not, he skipped a year playing football and all that stuff. And I think that if he wanted to play football and that was his MO, I think that he would have a D1 scholarship too in that sport. But you know, offensively, Tuttle is really good on the ground. I mean, maybe a little suspect throwing the ball, but I think, you know, Clinton, I know, has been really good on defense too this year. You know, I'm interested kind of in how much Clinton has improved, because they were overmatched last year against Wagner in the finals, and I do lean towards Tuttle in the game, but I don't think it'll be, you know, a considerable spread. But I do think the Tigers, you know, last year just barely lost to Wagner, got most of those guys back from this year.
So with that being said, you know, Clinton on a mission to get back to this game, and they've done that. You're giving the edge to Tuttle. So what does Clinton have to do offensively to get by that very tough Tuttle defense?
Man, I mean, I would just say that Powell has to make some big plays. And I think that they probably have to be able to throw the ball some. You know, I mean, I just think that's the biggest key. But really, I think what they have to do is be able to, more so on the defensive side of the ball, if they can shut Tuttle's run game down and keep it to a one-score game or a two-score game. That the closest game that Tuttle had this year was against Blanchard, and they gave up a kick return and they gave up a pick six, 99 yards for a touchdown. Won 14-13 or 13-12, something like that, but they didn't allow a defensive touchdown in that game. They just, you know, gave up two scores. So I think a special team score or a defensive score is one way to help, would go a long way to help beating Tuttle.
Yeah, Tuttle's another one of those teams. 21 last week was the most that they've given up all season long. You look at the score, 0-3, 13, 0, 6, 8. I mean, that's, defense has been fantastic, no doubt about it. I want to go to 6A1. Because it's the matchup that we used to see a whole bunch of times. It's been just, 2014 maybe, since these two teams met in the finals. But Jinx Union, you know, 30, 45 appearances in the state title game between the two of them. This is one of those matchups that is just kind of jumps off the page at you when you see those two teams going at it in the 6A1 state finals.
Yeah, you know what, I mean, this is kind of crazy, but Union hasn't scored against Jinx in two games. I mean, they got shut out earlier this year, got shut out last year in their only meeting. And so I think that Jinx has been really good on defense, but Union's been a lot better on defense. I think you got to give credit to Union. They got beat last year in the semifinals, and they've bounced back this season and played some really good football. And I think this is another one of those games that's going to be really low scoring. And, you know, points are going to come at a premium in it. Jinx has got two really good quarterbacks. You know, they've alternated a junior, Ike Owens, and then a freshman that started for them some. And so that's been a pretty good situation for Keith Riggs. They had a transfer, Jaden Carroll, that came in for Booker T. Washington. You know, imagine that. Good transfer that comes in for running back spot. Plays really well. So it's kind of, when you're Jinx Union, you've got an embarrassment of riches over their talent.
It'd be the 11th time they've met in the finals between these two teams. What's interesting is Jinx has won 6 of those of the 10 previous. But only 3 times did a team sweep. That's crazy to me that the other team won in the finals after they lost in the regular season 7 of those 10 times.
I do agree. That is that's pretty crazy when it comes to, you know, you would think if one team's just better, but man, yeah, there's been a history of that, even not only in the championship, but in the regular. I mean, if they didn't play in the championship,
right,
at some point in time too in the playoffs, it's been that way. So yeah, that's a little extra, probably the confidence boost for Union in the game.
This is something I want to ask you. We don't deal with it much out here just because of the classifications. We're either 4A right here on I-40, you know, Woodward, Altus, or 5A, and then everyone else plays either 8-man or Class A football. But in that 3A final, it's Hall and Hall and Lincoln Christian. And it feels like the private schools in 3A and 2A, maybe not this year in 2A because everybody's public, but in those two classifications, it feels like there's a huge public versus private debate. Do you think that there's anything that the OSSAA can or will do in the future to either separate those out or even make those private schools bump up into higher classifications?
Man, the only thing they can do is just tell them, hey, look, we're going to have a separate division in Class 3A for private school or for public schools. And in a sense, that's just kicking out the public schools. You're just saying, all right, you know, you're free to enter this division, or you make everybody play up to a minimum of 5A, I guess. Because it seems like, you know, Bishop Kelly, Bishop McGinnis, really, really good in those classes, but not dominant to the way that some of the private schools are. And I think that that also fixes private schools from controlling enrollment in kind of a tricky way. Probably you're not going to see a school expand to the point where they get up in that, 600-700 per person class. And so that's going to be really rough on the private schools, but I can promise you this, if you put Lincoln, Christian, Holland Hall, all those schools in 5A, I think they'd be really competitive. Heritage Hall would have a shot in there. Probably not be favored to win, but I think at least compete. But I think that gives the 3A schools a chance, because right now they don't have a chance.
Yeah, and I think they kind of got down that road a little bit with some of the things that the OSSA has done in the past. But like you said, it feels like it's too easy to control the enrollments.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to bump them up one class when they've had a really good run. And I know the private schools get upset. I mean, they get really upset about, oh, well, we had to move up, or this is a year that we were down after we were really good, and so it penalizes the wrong class and all that stuff. And I think they should have a choice to compete in a private school division, or you compete in Class 5A. I mean, I don't think 4A really, to me, is high enough. Maybe it is, but I guess you could examine that too. But I think that all those schools would fare very well if you put Holland Hall or Lincoln up against Tuttle or Clinton. To me, it's probably a coin toss game.
Yeah, I mean, Heritage Hall is the lone loss Clinton suffered this year, and it was the second half, pretty well dominated. The Red Tornadoes there earlier in the season. Well, Mark, what do you got going on this weekend? Tell the listeners where they can see you.
Okay, this weekend I'll be in Dallas, Arlington specifically, covering the Big 12 championship game for KOCO. We've got a pregame show at 10 a.m., and then the game is going to be immediately following that on the air. So we'll have Chad Weiber is going to stop by and visit with us. Pretty good run for him as the AD, first season Big 12 championship in football. And so a lot of good things going on in sports in Stillwater. So looking forward to the game, man. It's just a big weekend for the Cowboys and what could follow after that.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, he mentions Arlington, and I can't let Mark off the hook without asking him a baseball question. Are my Texas Rangers finally at least contenders in the West if we get a season?
Well, what are you going to win? Like I was just thinking when I was seeing the scroll the other night. Man, the Rangers are going to try to win every game 12-10. I mean, I haven't seen a pitcher yet. Are they going to sign any pitching? I mean, they're going to hit home runs. I know that now.
I got John Gray, but I don't think that supplements much. But it's nice to see that they're actually being proactive in free agency, for me anyways.
They got money. They built that brand-new park. I mean, they're going to have a lot of people in there. Plus, the Choctaws are sponsoring the team. They got a nice sponsorship package there as everybody fights it out with WinStar sponsoring the Cowboys. So they can afford some money. They just got to find some pitching. I mean, if any pitching in the organization, maybe they got some guys that I don't know about coming up. But I would be more bullish on them if they could get anybody out. They're going to have to outscore them.
They got the kid from Vanderbilt. Well, it's going to take some time for him to get up there, though.
They probably will run him through the system pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no. Hey, look, you go into the season feeling like we got a shot. If it, that may be, who knows, when we play in 2024.
Yeah. I told Aaron after all this went down, I said, hey, I might actually buy a new Ranger hat this season. I'm looking forward to a baseball season. And then last night happened.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold my breath on any of that because baseball can figure out a way to screw it up better than anybody else out there. But, Jared, the good news is you might not lose 100 next time
you
play.
That's true.
So it's better than it has been.
I will say one more thing before I go. Congratulations to the great football season that the Elks had this year. That was incredible, winning 10 games first time. And long time to be able to do that. So I know everybody's happy to have that kind of season. And I know it was a tough game last week, but at least they showed some improvement against Clinton. And everybody should be pretty happy about the season.
Yeah, that was just such a heartbreaker because you don't, as an Elk City guy, I've been here my whole life. There's not very many times where you not only outgain Clinton in total yards, but really kind of control the game. And when that happens, you have to win it. And the Elks, just a couple of special teams miscues were the difference in the game, unfortunately, and it went the wrong way for the brown and white. But, yeah, I mean, turning 34-0 around to 10-7 halfway through the fourth quarter with the chance to get the ball back, it was a heck of a season. Coach Meadows and his guys and the seniors. Think about this, Mark. Those seniors started out 0-20 their freshman and sophomore years, but stuck it out and kept on fighting, and those guys deserve a lot of credit. You don't see that from young guys. You know, I'm the get-off-my-lawn guy as much as about anybody. But those guys impressed me not to quit and to continue to fight and have a heck of a season in their last year here at Elk City.
Absolutely. No question about that.
Well, man, thanks so much. Have a safe trip down to Arlington. We'll be watching the pre and the post game ahead of the Oklahoma State Cowboys and the Baylor Bears. Now, are you like Herb Street? Are you going to give us a prediction on the game, or since you're kind of down there, are you out?
Yeah, that's so stuck up. Of course, I'll give a prediction on the game. That is, I mean, my predictions are usually wrong. So, I don't know. Maybe I should pick Baylor to help out. I think OSU's going to win. I really do. So, that's not too hard of a pick.
Hey, man, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, see you, Skinny.
All right, see you, man. Bye-bye. Mark Rogers of the Sports Animal, KOCO, and the high school football guru. He's fantastic with all the knowledge that he's got. Not only, you know, for this year's teams and whatnot, but the historic knowledge that he possesses is awesome. The public private, you know, we just don't hear much of it, right? Because it's either Clinton, Weatherford, Elk City. You know, Woodward's going to be in 4A this next year. Altus is down in 5A. You know, I think you and I looked at it not too long ago. The closest 3A school to Elk City is like Kingfisher or Alva when they're bumped up to 3A instead of 2A. There's just not
Marlow, maybe.
Marlow's 2A.
At one point they were 3A.
And Alva kind of bump back and forth depending on enrollments. But Kingfisher's kind of the one that's solidly in 3A. I mean, heck, that doesn't, you know, that's just not something that gets talked about. I know on the text line, Pat Sanger, you know, his kids go through it in the tennis tournament as much as anybody. Tennis and golf here at Elk City, at least, are the ones that really deal with, you know, having to play against those private schools. And, you know, it is what it is. I like that idea of 5A because I think he's right.
Yeah, they still compete.
They can absolutely. Yeah. I mean, McGinnis is competing. Bishop Kelly's competing. And I don't know if you lined them up if Heritage Hall's on a better football team than McGinnis.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
And so I think that's something that we just – it kind of goes over our heads in the football realm. But, man, when you look back, 3A, it's been a long time since you've seen, you know, a public school really – I mean, be able to compete and win a title. Yeah. So
there needs to be adjustments made. They've tried. The OSSA has tried to make some adjustments. I don't think it's fair just to totally split up private versus public, private championship, public championship. But I think there needs to be tweaks made to make it a more even playing field. But it's a dog that we don't really have a fight in because of everything you said. It hasn't, you know, and that's sad. You know, until it affects us, we don't care. It doesn't really affect 4A. And
bump them up to 4A, and it'll be a topic all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's sometimes it's a conversation I avoid because I'm thinking, I don't really have a dog in this fight. But I can see the frustration from those other sports. You know, Clinton has they've had for years a good volleyball program, and they've had to go up. I mean, when they won their first state championship in volleyball, they had I remember this, seeing the film. They had all the teams that were eliminated that were public rooting for them because they were going up against like one of the private. I can't remember which one, somewhere out. I think Tulsa is something out of Tulsa. And when they won it, it was like, oh, they won one for us, the public schools. But you see it, you know, volleyball, soccer, golf, and tennis, you know, it's dominated by private schools.
It was amazing last year how many you could feel the divide down at Blanchard.
Oh yeah.
Waiting to see that last round if the golf tournament was going to get to be played because of the weather. And it was all those public schools were rooting so hard for the Elks, you know, and it just didn't happen. But, you know, I think at least to me, I mean, that's kind of since our time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, those schools were down in the 2A and Class A almost. So that's not something that was dealt with.
It's like they found a way.
It feels like that's just like in the last 10 to 15 years is when that's really become a thing.
And I don't, you know, there's all those accusations. Do they recruit? Do they control their enrollment? You know,
I think that's the key. It's not
necessarily their enrollment.
Yeah.
And if they were to be bumped up, say like this to 5A, then say, fine, let's open up our enrollment. Let's get our numbers up to a 5A level and have more, a deeper bench and more options. And that can make it even more of a better program. You see, you know, so I don't, you know, like for instance, okay, Heritage Hall, say they get bumped up to 5A, well, they open up their enrollment, they start picking from some Edmond schools and some, you know what I mean? So
sure,
I don't know.
Yeah, but to me, if you're beating Carl Albert, I'm not as heartbroken for Carl Albert as I am for Kingfisher. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Because they're just not the base of population. That's probably a cruel way to look at it. No offense to Carl Albert or whoever it is in 5A. Woodward's down in 4A, so we're not picking on them. And, you know, Altus is kind of going through a rough patch. But it feels like, you know, they're more equipped to battle because of the population that they possess versus those small. I mean, I was at Alva this summer. Really? They got no shot against Heritage Hall or Lincoln. And Heritage Hall, not even in the finals. You know, Lincoln Christian and Hall. So I think it's something that's definitely on top of mind, and we'll see how it gets fixed. And
if it gets fixed,
yeah. Or well, gets fixed to the public school's liking, let's say it that way.
Yeah,
a bunch of private schools don't think there's anything wrong.
Even if adjustments are made, there's always going to be a gripe on the public side.
Sure,
it has, you know. So yeah. It's just going to be a thing that's going to be with us for a while. At the end of the day, just go beat them.
Yeah, that's what I've always said too. And I know it's harder, but that's the truth. Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.